Welcome back to Game Time. David Nuno here by myself at the moment with Del Olale. Our main man, Rodney Waite, heading over to Texans headquarters right now as we speak to catch up with the newest selection, Dwayne Brown, Texans first rounder. Well, not the newest, but the newest first rounder for the Texans. And we are doing our AstrosDaily.com segment. Also want to remind you of our non-sports topic of the day, the best sports video games of all time. NBA Jams. Do you guys remember that game? What a freaking game. Del, did you ever play it?
You had to growing up. Everybody had you had to play. I wasn't very good at it, though.
I didn't really like it because, A, it was 2-on-2, and I don't like 2-on-2. And people were flipping, they were diving, you know, it just, and they got on fire, and the defense was non-existent on that game, and I'm a guy who likes to play defense.
I'm more of a sim guy, as they call it, a little more simulation as 5-on-5 or 11-on-11 football. I'm not a big fan of the Blitz series for football as well. I was more of a realistic type, so yeah, I didn't particularly enjoy NBA Jam either.
Let me ask you, okay, when you played, did you play it on the arcade, the Sega Genesis, or Game Boy? Where did you play it at?
Even as a child, I wouldn't waste my money on NBA Jam, so I had to play it in arcades. All my money went to, like, I guess Bulls versus Blazers and things like that.
Okay, so who? Let's test you real quick, and we need to take Scott Barzillo in a second, and we'll definitely extend his segment because I'm messing around here. But can you name who was on the Rockets team?
Smith and was Chucky Brown on that team?
According to this, the very first NBA Jam, Hakeem and Vernon. I thought I remembered a third player as well. I thought you could pick from three.
But he had option of three players.
I think this might be wrong here online, but I remember Dream had the goggles. That I do remember. And Vernon was pretty damn good. The Mavericks had Derek Harper, Mike. I don't know who the other guy is. Denver had Dikembe. Hey, Golden State was very good on that game. He had Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin, Christian Laettner, Chuck Person from Minnesota. The Suns was the team I used to play with back then. Charles Barkley and Dan Marley. So,
I'm waiting for the final football game that I gave that away. The final game we're going to talk about, the game I played all the time.
The game that everybody in the world has played.
Yes.
Everybody in the world, even like geriatric women.
Let's just say he has a connection with the 49ers, that's all we'll say. Is that too much?
The connection with the 49ers. What game are you talking about? Whisper it.
Bill Walsh.
Oh, I was talking about the other one, the biggest game ever.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, well, we'll do both in that segment. How about that?
All right.
Hey, let's go to Scott Barzillo from AstrosDaily.com. We owe you 5 minutes, man. I know you've been on hold for a little bit. What's up?
Not much. Hey, do you guys ever play old-time baseball?
Yeah, you know, I did. I did play that one.
That one was my personal favorite. I mean, you could do fantasy drafts, and you could also, you know, take the best teams and put them up against each other. And unfortunately, I think they went out of business, so that you can't buy it anymore. But it was a great game.
I don't think we're going to get to it today, but there was a video game that I used to play that was my, to this day for its time, was the most innovative. It was called Baseball Stars. It was on Nintendo. And with Baseball Stars, it was the first time you could trade and create your own players. And you could simulate a 162-game season. Now, the teams were either teams that you created or these weird teams like the Japan's whatevers. But that game, you could create your own player. You could buy players. There was a salary cap. It was fantastic. I'm talking, this is 1988.
Well, yeah, I think I had a friend of mine who told me about something like that where you could where it allotted you a certain amount of team speed for the whole roster.
Yes, yes.
And they used to put it all on one player. So you had a home run bunt.
I made the Cuban Cigars. That was the name of my team. Don't ask me. Well, maybe because I'm Cuban and I don't smoke. But regardless, it was led with Jose Canseco, Rafael Palmeiro, Danny Tartable, David Nuno, Alex Nuno, and Joaquin, all on the same team. So it was a very good team.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Dude, especially those Nuno guys. So let's talk about our little Astros, who playing much better, although yesterday didn't end the way we wanted it to. Adam Wainwright kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to see a whole lot of action up here. It's kind of frustrating. But they definitely look like they've been doing well. I mean, getting right up to the 500 mark, you know, at least for one day. Definitely, you know, been surprising the last week or so.
Now, what, you know, it's funny, like this team, I don't know if this is probably who they are right now. I'm not saying the win streak, but a 500 team, I think, is very possible. Even though the prediction for wins was 74 this year. But when you look at what the Astros are doing well. Now, yesterday we didn't see a lot of runs, obviously, but their three runs came on three dingers. Lance Berkman hitting two. But offensively, you knew it was going to catch up. But you know what hasn't caught up is bad pitching. Like, the starting pitching has still been very good.
I think that's been the biggest surprise as far as this year has been concerned. I think once we're getting everybody back, and I don't know, it looks like Wigginton hasn't quite come back yet, but getting Matsui into that lineup has really helped. Because the one thing that I think has to surprise every Astro fan over the last few years is just not so much the team speed, but how this team is running. I mean, who would have guessed that Berkman would have had 4 stolen bases all year, much less in April?
Right.
So, I mean, I think offensively, I mean, they're a lot more dynamic, but the starting pitching has definitely been solid all year.
The number here is 713-439-1560, the email, gametime@1560thegame.com. A good friend of the show and the station is Wesley Wright, and man, this guy has looked nails. He has been great. How surprised are you by Wesley? Because I think this is a guy nobody really watched. I mean, he came from the Dodger system, and he's here now, and he has been just nails.
Oh, I've been really surprised, especially by the fact that they've gotten him into some pressure situations. And, you know, like yesterday, I mean, he didn't always handle them perfectly, but, you know, I remember, I can't remember who they played a couple of weeks ago, he came in and pitched a scoreless inning, you know, and just, you know, struck out the side. And I was like, wow, you know, look at this guy. You know, I don't know that he's going to be a dominant reliever, but when you look at this team, I mean, you look at the Borkowski, as I call him, you know, more like Molowski or Bowler, you know, because it seems like Dave Borkowski and Brian Bowler are the same pitcher. But, I mean, they definitely, you know, it definitely gives them some hope for the future.
Want to remind everybody that we will take the Duane Brown press conference from the Texans live at 11:30. Our man Rodney Waits will be there on hand for us, and we will take that live at 11:30. But right now we're talking Astros with our man Scott the Barzilla. What, Spot? Not Spot. Scott the Godzilla Barzilla. I don't know. What's your nickname, Scott?
Godzilla sounds fine.
That'll work. Just for today's purposes, it works fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, Bob Hulsey, good friend of the show. Big man there at AstrosDaily.com has got some good questions for us. A week ago, this team was in last place at 6-12, and folks talked as if the Astros were one of the worst franchises in history. Now, well, I think for this year, one of their worst teams in their franchise history. Now, after a 6-game win streak, the tone has significantly changed. Your thoughts on that? Because I think they're good, Scott. I think they're good, but they're, no, let me rephrase that. I think they're not as bad as people thought, but they're not as good as this latest stretch either.
Oh, I think that's true, and I think one of the things you look at is, you know, during the early, you know, part of the season, whenever you have a 5 or 6 game winning streak or losing streak, people just really blow it out of proportion. I think the biggest guy in that regard is Jose Valverde. I mean, he has 2 or 3 bad outings, and it's like, oh, no, it's Mitch Williams all over again. Let's cut him now. Then he comes back and has a few good outings. They're like, oh, you know, there's just a blip on the map. And I think, you know, if he turns out to be what they bargained for, you know, then that bullpen all of a sudden looks good. The rotation looks, you know, good so far. You know, this is going to be a competitive team. But I think that's what happens when people get too excited over what happens in April.
713-439-1560. The email's gametime@1560thegame.com. Now, one thing that this Astros franchise over the last couple of years has proven that they'll play better ball, you know, in the second half of the season. But as we were reminded of, there is no Roger Clemens, there is no Andy Pettit. But when you talk about some of these guys that are pitching, Sean Chacon is, I think, the guy that we really need to peg our attention on because he has shown flashes of brilliance before being at the Astros. I mean, he's been an all-star pitcher before.
Oh, that's true, at least nominally. I think, you know, he's been a huge surprise so far, and that makes me a little bit concerned because, you know, guys usually regress back to what they have been doing. And if you look at his career, that's not really all that good. But, you know, just keep them watching him start by start. You know, I kind of relate it to, you know, going to the casino and getting a run at the blackjack table or the roulette table. You know, sometimes you have that, you know, feeling in the back of your head, I need to cash in my chips now because, you know, it's going to start getting bad. So, you know, we just have to keep, you know, holding on and watching him and hoping that this run continues.
The number here is 713-439-1560. The email is gametime@1560thegame.com. And we are checking astrosdaily.com as we speak. Let's go to the Lions. And a big friend of the show, we hear, well, we read her comments all the time, Astros Girl. Hello, Astros Girl.
Hey, Scott. What's up?
Hey!
I was just wondering what you think about the way Cooper manages the bullpen. Do you think maybe he overmanages it a little bit?
Good question.
That is a good question, and I think, you know, managing the bullpen is something that's really going to happen. It's really going to rear its head later on in the season. And I think that goes back to what I was saying about Sean Chacon. I think they're still a little bit worried about these starters. And so once they get into the sixth inning, it's kind of like, oh, we've gotten something good out of him. Let's pull him out now instead of maybe taking them that extra inning or two, especially in blowout games. In blowout games, you know, you really want to get your starters, you know, an extra inning if you can, because then, you know, that's a good opportunity to save the bullpen. What I'm worried about in particular is guys like Brocale, 41 years old, will be, and guys like Villarreal and Geary, you know, if they get up to 70, 80 innings in September, they could be burning out.
Anything else, Astros girl?
Okay. Scott, what do you think about the whole Tejada, the ESPN thing with ambushing Tejada?
What a great question. That's something we haven't gotten into, but what do you think about the entire ambush thing?
Oh, that was, I mean...
Ambush?
It's much ado about nothing. I mean, if I had, you know, if we had a dollar for every Dominican player or Latin American player that's changed their age, I mean, we'd all be able to go out to Perry Steakhouse about now and enjoy a good lunch. And it, to me, the whole, you know, when they talked about him changing his name, I was like, geez, you know, now I guess I'm going to have to start calling myself Borzolari. I mean, it's insane. I mean, that happens all the time. It's much ado about nothing, you know, people just trying to catch Tejada in something. And it's like somebody said on the boards, I mean, that reporter now, I mean, no player's going to trust him. So, I mean, I think he bit off his nose despite his face there.
We appreciate your call, Astros girl. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Big contributor to the show. We read her post all the time on AstrosDaily.com. Scott Brazilla here with us from the site. We're having your calls, we're taking your calls, your emails right here at 1560 The Game. The number is 713-439-1560. The email, gametime at 1560thegame.com. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, man. I thought that was the lowest of low, the way that reporter went about it. I know at times ambush journalism is cool, but I don't think it proved anything. I mean, there's certain, like when Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC does it, I'm okay with it, because that's a pedophile he's going after. I'm okay with the whole going after a pedophile, whatever you got to do. But a guy who lied to play baseball because of his age, we're not even talking about lying about steroids. We're talking about so he could leave his country that's, you know, in poverty. I have no problem with that. I don't like liars. But, you know, the way they went about it, Mr. Barzilla, I just think that was ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and unfortunately we're getting into this position where we have to grade, you know, the severity of lies. But I agree. I mean... And some people are saying, well, he could have taken somebody's spot. And so, obviously, the way he's played, he should have taken somebody's spot.
Heck yeah.
I mean, this guy's been playing great baseball this year. I mean, he's coming in with energy every night. He's fielding great. He's, you know, hitting great. He's running the bases great. You know, he's cheering on his teammates. And quite frankly, it looks like he could be the leader of this team. And so you come in with this crap. I mean, it's just, it's silly.
713-439-1560, the email gametime at 1560thegame.com. Your thoughts on Carlos Lee over the last couple, he's been playing better ball, but he got a lot of jokes about him, let's just say, the last couple weeks.
Well, you know, one of the things I like to say about Carlos Lee is he'd make a great Hanna-Barbera baseball player. You know, they kind of run in place for about 5 seconds there. Yeah, he's not there for his fielding, and that's kind of the unfortunate short-sightedness of that six-year contract. But I'm not too worried about him as a hitter. And one of the things that people are going to have to realize is that he could hit the exact same way this year that he did last, and he'll still only drive in about 80 or 90 runs because Berkman and Tejada are there. They're going to take some of those RBIs away from him. So I'm not too worried about Lee at the plate. I mean, he's a professional hitter. He's a proven track record. But, gosh, left field, can we play softball rules, throw out a fourth outfielder? It's crazy.
713-439-1560, game time at 1560thegame.com. Did you get a chance to check out Valverde's at-bat the other night?
Oh, yeah, pretty comical.
What was that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he hadn't been swinging the bat too often. Kind of looked like Jim Deshays up there. But it's, I mean, yeah, obviously you don't want him doing that again.
Never, but are you I don't know if pleased is the right word, but are you encouraged that Valverde's starting to show signs of being not the closer that maybe we thought, but definitely not the closer that he started off being?
I think so. I mean, I think I heard that he changed his arm slot a little bit. But you can't get overexcited about two or three outings, because that's when you start feeding that monster.
Right.
You know, like what happened to Lidge, you know, here last year. You know, I think one of the things that happened to him is, you know, two or three bad outings, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, the tide's turned on him, everybody hates him. And that's hard to overcome. The key is what's happening in his own head, and I think these last few outings have been encouraging, definitely.
Hey, let's talk a little bit more now on the third base situation, Ty Wigginton. We still don't know what's up with him. I like Jeff Blum a lot, but I like him coming off the bench. What are your thoughts on Blum so far?
I think Blum has done fine in spot duty. He's one of these guys who, if you play him over a full season, he's going to kill you with the bat. I mean, he's hit 3 home runs here so far, but that's definitely not his track record. He's going to be the guy who's going to hit 240, 250 with not very much power. That's going to kill you at third base over a whole season. But, you know, over a 2-week period, you know, I could keep going back to that gambling analogy, anybody can get hot. And so that's, you know, basically what's happened with him. And, you know, you kind of, hopefully when Wigginton comes back, you say, you know, thanks for the great effort, and you put Wigginton back in there, and the offense starts to click that much more.
Now, what do you think about some of the pinch hitting we've been getting? Mr. Cruz Jr., Jose Cruz Jr., really is struggling with the bat.
That's another thing where I look at small sample size. That's a tough job. I mean, sitting on the bench, all of a sudden you have to go in there and you don't have your timing down. I never look too hard at pinch hitting appearances. When I look at a bench, I look at, you know, what's going to happen if this guy has to go in and play. That's one of the reasons why, if you read the board over extended period of time, I just hated Orlando Palmeiro.
Right.
The expression that they had for pitchers, your lefties, your lefty one out guy, and I think that was Orlando Palmeiro. He was, you know, if you wanted somebody to ground out to the second baseman, he was your guy. But you know, can you put this guy into the game start and feel good about it? And I think just about everybody on this bench, with the exception of Tomas Perez, they sent down, and you feel good about it. Blum, you feel good about him starting occasionally. With Erstad, definitely you feel good with him starting. With Cruz as well. So I feel good about this bench so far.
Hey, last thing for you. What do you think about this rivalry with the Cards? It's always been there. It's getting a little chippy. You know, a couple of weeks back we had our very own Lance Zierlein go crazy on the air, which I thought was some of the most classic radio about pitching to Albert Pujols. Obviously, you saw Cecil throw the 4 sign up there a couple nights ago saying, walk this guy in the ninth. But yesterday got a little chippy. What do you think about this Cardinals rivalry? I'm happy to see the Astros manning up.
Definitely. And you know, there's nothing quite as hilarious as seeing two brainiacs like Osmus and La Russa go at it. That was pretty comical. I think one of the things I've always loved playing the Cardinals because, you know, I think, no offense to fans in Houston, but I think the St. Louis baseball fans are the best baseball fans in America.
Yeah.
And I think that's proven by, you know, how well they've treated the Astros over the years, you know, plotting Biggio, plotting Bagwell, when other fans would be booing them, you know, elsewhere around the country. It's always been one of those friendly kind of rivalries where, you know, I hate Albert Pujols, but I can't really hate Albert Pujols. But I have to agree with Lance. I mean, he has burned us too many times, you know, to pitch to that guy. And if you look at their lineup is very, very shaky. You know, so why are you, you know, taking the one good hitter and letting him beat you? I just don't understand that. But it's definitely, I don't think the rivalry is as chippy as it has been with the Cubs. I don't know if you remember a few years back with Michael Barrett and Roy Oswalt kind of getting into it. That, you know, that was a lot more chippy than what we saw yesterday. But it's definitely an interesting rivalry and arguably the best rivalry in the National League.
Hey, I'm going to kind of comment on something you said there that, you know, you hate Albert Pujols, but you like him as well or love him. I forget the word to use. What I was going to say is I look at Albert Pujols the way I look at the Utah Jazz as a franchise. I hate him. I freaking hate him. But if you take a step back and you look at what they do, there's something to marvel about. You have to appreciate how they've kept the same style of play for the last 20 years, and that's a credit to their coach. But that, I'm crossing sports there. Scott Barzillo of AstrosDaily.com, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to catch up with you very, very soon.
Okay, great.
Thanks very much, man. Good job.
Thank you.
Scott Barzillo, AstrosDaily.com. Check out the website. They do a wonderful job there. And when we come back, we're going to have more John Harris, more David Nuno, and hopefully we'll have the press conference, Duane Brown press conference with the Texans, supposed to be starting in about 7 or 8 minutes, so we'll get that on for you as well. You're listening to Game Time. Rodney White's on his way to Texans headquarters. David Nuno, John Harris in studio. Del Olale holding it down. 713-439-1560.